Okay, welcome everybody. We're going to start our meeting 6:30. Thank you all for coming. I just want to mention that we just had a conducted a site visit, so we're all in tune with what's up there in the situation at hand. I think what we need to do now is to hear from all of you one at a time. Peter, I think probably we're going to ask you to say something first about maybe continuing. And identify yourself.
Could I ask Peter Ball, the attorney for Mr. Hassel, to summarize exactly what is being applied for at this point in time? I've seen two or three versions of the map and a wastewater permit, and I know that I have a copy of what is what we're meeting here about, but I a lot of the folks here aren't entirely certain. There were two lots up there at one point. There are two one-bedroom houses. That's changed. If you could summarize, Peter, what...
You could probably, Peter Ballers, thank you. Just identify yourself, but you could probably bring us up to speed on why we're here at a major subdivision, what was divided at the beginning, and who owned it back then, and the fact that the subdividing goes with the land, not the owner.
That's right. So this would normally be considered just a two-lot subdivision, just because the only new boundary line being created is between the existing home. By the way, I'm Peter Ballers, representing the Hassels in a matter, so if anybody didn't know that. So it would normally be a two-lot subdivision, very simple. And really, that's what it is, practically speaking. It's a major subdivision in Pomfret because in the last 15 years, there have been other lots that have been conveyed out. And so this last property line that's being drawn between the existing home and the site you just saw is now constitutes, I think, the fifth lot. So it'll create five lots total over a 15-year period because there have been other lots that made out in the last 15 years. That said, it's a pretty benign subdivision, folks. This is about as benign as it gets. Okay, I know there's been a lot of talk about, like, what is this guy doing? He's a developer. Well, I would say that Bill Nassel is not a new developer to this area. I first represented Bill, has to be 20 years ago, when he did the base of Cloud Road in Woodstock. He did a subdivision where Scott and Kim Smith live and the four Giomes live. So he did that stuff very tastefully done, beautiful homes. Obviously the home that he's restoring at this point, the existing farmhouse, is beautifully done, well in keeping with the local area. So I can assure you guys, this is not somebody who's out to develop. But I will say, and I was just talking to John about this, Pomfret's 2 acres zone. You can do a major subdivision up there while you're at it and do 2 acre lots. You can do that. He does not want to do that. What he has told me from the very beginning is that he wants to downsize and build a small retirement home that captures the view going out that also has some land. Now I've told him, I said, Bill, the first thing, if you're going to sell the main house, if that's the objective, which I think it is eventually, the objective is to sell the existing home, build his retirement home. And in the beginning, it was meant to be like a little bit of a compound. That's why he has the confusing 2 one-bedroom homes there now on the wastewater permit. That plan has changed, not on the permits yet, but it will change to be 1 two-bedroom home, just for himself.
One lot behind the house.
One lot. It's just one lot.
That makes it a
11-acre lot.
Just for a correction, you said it's really a two-lot subdivision. No. That's not correct. It's three.
Well, there's a third one across the road.
You've got the meadow. But it's considered a lot.
It's considered a lot, but that is not a newly created lot.
No. But for purposes of...
Yeah, there's only one current boundary line that's new, and that's the one between the existing home and the proposed construction site.
So the original plan, they have two sites up there. That's gone. That's off the table.
Yes, so it would just be one home. And actually, that was a shared, they were just a, it was like a, it was like a little compound. There was a shared septic system with two wells for better water supply. And now we're just going to keep the same septic system, go down to one well, one home, two bedrooms. Small people.
Oh, so wait a minute, it's going to be a two-bedroom home now.
Two-bedroom home, and that's what they have permanent.
The application, it's a one-bedroom.
Well, we haven't done a zoning application yet, Peter. We're just doing a subdivision. So we have a wastewater permit that is a 2-bedroom septic system, which is very, very small. Most septic systems by today's standards are 3 bedrooms at the minimum. Certainly homes that go to Comforter today are much, much more than 2 bedrooms. Again, benign. Really small, benign. There's been no indication otherwise. He's not being deceptive like the letter I just read. He's not trying to pull the wool over anybody's eyes. He has a proven track record right in the area on Cloudland Road with beautiful homes, gorgeous homes, and he's already doing a gorgeous home. It's about as good as you can get as far as somebody wanting to build something except for one thing. Now let me just, if I can just finish. The clear cutting is pretty offensive. I agree. It is pretty offensive. I do. And to be honest, if there's any violation here, it's a violation of the major cutting within the ridgeline. The subdivision itself and the building of the home is outside of the ridgeline. No violation there.
I'll speak to that.
Well,
there isn't a violation.
I can't find a violation there. So it's well within the confines of the town's elaborate subdivision ordinance, well within the confines of the town's admittedly archaic zoning ordinance, which still allows for 2-acre zoning. In fact, you only have one zone in the entire town. But you do have a very, very well-written and elaborate subdivision and also a very, very involved ridgeline zoning. And in that ridgeline zoning, it does say that you can't do major cutting. And that's where we get into the issue. And I know that's everybody's beef, but I would caution everybody, you can't link the ridgeline issue with the subdivision. Two separate issues, separate and independent. You've got a subdivision issue, which I think is a slam dunk. You have a problematic ridgeline clearing of trees, which is problematic, except for one thing. And that is that we've seen the photos, if you haven't already, is that what I would argue the clearing is something that will eventually, right now it's a tremendous eyesore, but eventually it will be a beautiful pasture like it was in the 1950s. That's what it was. So the trees you see that they cut down would technically not constitute part of the forest or part of the forest canopy or part of what you would value as being the cap of a ridgeline. It would be something where you're simply clearing back trees. Nothing will be built in that zone. There will be no structures. It will simply be a beautiful meadow. There will probably be a hayfield that he will pick up. That's it. I see people shaking their heads at me. I tell you the truth. I have no other information. It really is. If you're in this business of development, that is benign as it gets. You're talking about somebody who wants to build himself in a very small, modest retirement home. All the permits speak to that. We haven't gone for our zoning permit for construction, but we will, and that'll be a conditional use permit. So obviously, what we're going to be going for is a 2-bedroom, single-family residence. It doesn't get any more simple than that. Now, obviously, open it up. That's anybody have any questions? Please feel free to ask them. I'll do my best to answer your question.
I have one question. You said that the piece that he's dividing out, that this house will be going on once you put in the permit, that there'll be no further houses in that area at all, just
no
that
further.
One house.
One 2-bedroom home.
And that could be part of our decision.
Yes, conditional use.
That will remain open as pasture or mow the lawn or whatever.
Hopefully. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Does anybody have a question for Peter? Ellen?
My question is that there's already a driveway put in, there's already a site decided, I guess we don't have any drawings of houses or anything, but I thought that he was not supposed to be doing any site preparation work until he had a permit. And he has no permits. He's already done all the site preparation. So you mentioned that he hasn't violated anything, but I would say that's the second violation.
When you refer to permit, you're talking about subdivision permit.
He has no permit.
Subdivision of a parcel of land, there shall not be any grading, clearing, construction, or other improvements undertaken therein before an application is submitted.
As I said, the clearing of the trees is problematic. The subdivision itself, I don't think is problematic, but the clearing of the trees. But I mean, as far as the access goes, I think there was probably a pre-existing farm curb cut there. So,
I don't think so.
Well, I mean, that was definitely something, you know, there's no
That's right.
Yeah.
So other than ridgeline, there's no ban in Pomfret from clearing trees from a site. You're allowed to do that without a permit. You can't do that in a major cutting in a ridgeline, but you can clear trees.
But you can't do any other improvements until you get approval. And then the other improvements.
So great.
Are we to honor his violations?
I would argue that it's not grading. There's just in cutting. There is a bit of a graded driveway area, but that was mainly for logging machines. And people do that all the time with logging. They create a logging, you know, a logging way to go. And it's certainly not. I wouldn't bring my vehicle up there. I wouldn't drive up that driveway. You need a logging machine.
You'd bring the Land Rover.
I would bring the Land Rover.
Come on.
So my concern is that before any permits or any discussion took place on any of this, he had already asked for a septic permit from the state of Vermont. He'd got that in the town offices here probably in January. So from the very start of this, it has definitely been intended as residential development. And so the idea that the tree cutting is harmless or any of these things is just BS. It's been a planned development and he's failed to do any of the preliminary steps. And if we give this guy permission to do something, every other developer in town is going to feel entitled to do whatever they please and just thumb their noses at our zoning bylaws. I think that there should be no application allowed. He's got to pay violation fees or he's got to withdraw his applications and start at the beginning to get started with what is the proper first step. But to come to us after violating two of our bylaws and then expect us to just ignore all of that and say, fine, here's your permit, go ahead and do what you want. That kills all of our zoning laws.
Peter, again, I object that we have a clear violation of a zoning bylaw. There's been some logging and some cutting. There is the question of the ridgeline. It has nothing to do with the subdivision. And the state wastewater permit is a state subdivision permit. So it's needed for the subdivision. So they're often concurrent. You file for the state wastewater permit. You file for the town zoning permit for subdivision or in Pomfret. It's a straight up subdivision permit since you have your own ordinance. You see whether you get that and then you can do the zoning and the construction. I have a solution here. Why don't we condition the subdivision permit on approval for the zoning permit? So that way you will know definitively what they're building and what's been approved. Or you can decide that you don't want them to do it. You can do that. But I would say that I would agree with Ellen that you could postpone, and if everybody's so deeply concerned about what he's doing there, let's put it on paper. We've already got the wastewater permit that limits us to 2 bedrooms. That's it. And let's put it on paper, and we'll give you some basic plans, elevations, site floor plans, and whatever you're going to need for your zoning permit, straight-up construction permit for zoning. Conditional use. And you can draw into that, and he's got to keep the land clear. This would only be this home and everything on it. And let him put his money where his mouth is.
Here's why I have a hard time proceeding here, given the cutting violations and given the site prep, which I think is a violation of the major subdivision application requirement. We've got a guy who, admittedly, Peter says, has a long track record. He's developed a lot of properties. He's got a professional engineer. He's got a professional wastewater. He has a professional surveyor. He has a professional wastewater engineer. And he's got the best lawyer in the Upper Valley when it comes to real estate development. But we didn't know there was a subdivision ordinance and a clear cutting ordinance in Pomfret, and we didn't bother to make sure we were scrupulously adhering to the regs. I just had a hard time with that, and I think there ought to be some consequences. And the Planning Commission and the Zoning Administrator need to figure out what are the consequences for proceeding in that manner with all this high-priced professional crew, you know, because we're setting a very poor example for other people. I don't doubt what Peter's telling us about intentions and all. I take him at his word. I know him well. But I would like to hear that directly from our neighbor, Mr. Nassel. He's never spoken to me since he's owned the property. He's never spoken to the folks that live across the way or the people whose property he cut right up to the very edge. Not a word. I really think he deserves to have the opportunity to come and talk to his neighbors hear the comments and hear why people are upset, and have him tell us, this is my one-bedroom retirement home, I'm going to sell the main house, that's going to fund my retirement plan, which, you know, as you say, is, that makes sense. I mean, I can see that coming out.
Yes, house.
That's not a tough call. But come and tell us and listen to the complaints, and maybe he can propose some mitigation that would address some of the complaints. Maybe a larger buffer next to Sam. And maybe, you know, you've got the Brickners down there concerned as heck that they're going to look right at a house with a bright light, with a red reflective roof, too high. You know, those are the kinds of things that concern us. If he really is planning, and he did a very tasteful job on the development, one, except for the lights, but they could be but, you know, a wonderful job, and I would hope the house he plans will be equally as tasteful. But it's got to be screened. We've got the lights to deal with. We've got the reflective survey. There's a lot of things that if he's truly doing what you represent, and that's his intention, it should be a no-brainer. He should say no problem. In fact, maybe I'll move the house a little bit so it won't be visible. But we have a talk with him. You know, we're not... Yeah, neighborly. Come and say, look, folks, I'm sorry, I should have come to you. You know, I've had trucks rumbling by my window all winter, Peter. It's been very annoying. Very annoying. He has every right in the world to do that. I'm not saying he doesn't have the right. But you ought to have the common courtesy. Send me an email, have you call me and say, look, I just want you to know, here's what we're doing. So he stirred up a real hornet's nest. And understandable. These are people that live in a very nice neighborhood. They came up here because of the peace and the quiet. You know, I'll be frank, we don't want a development in our midst. We don't. We understand he has certain legal rights to develop in a certain way. I understand that. But we also have an ordinance in town that really need, you know, you can't just say, well, okay, I'm done now. Now I'll apply for my permit. Let's forget all of this. I think the commission needs to address the violations. How they do that, they've got to figure that out. But, you know, as part of the solution to all of this, I don't know what his plans are for the meadow here. It's across the road. I see on the application or on the survey it says it will not be developed. Might go a long way if he were through you or to come and tell us himself. I will permanently restrict that. I don't want to put a house here. Of course, if he puts a house here, that kills the value of the beautiful homes. How about that as a peace offering to the group? And then maybe we say, okay, you got this violation, you got that violation. There should be a cease and desist order. There should be fines. Maybe we'll forget all of that. We're very happy to have that metal. And it's a no-brainer for him, because if you build there, it kind of ruins the house. So how about that as something just to think about? And he can, we're not talking about the land trust. We're not talking about the town.
We're talking about a deed restriction.
Because you know that the land trust isn't going to be interested. And the town's not in the business of, you know, and people change in the town. How about running the restrictions to the Colbecks, to the Demurls, their heirs and assigns, maybe to the Spitzers, you know, the direct abutters, it's there for our benefit. So any one of us can enforce it. That's what happened to the Kimball spec home. They had their own restrictions. I happen to hold those restrictions. That way, no one needs to worry, well, is it permanent? Can it be undone? And I would be thrilled, and I would consider that a legitimate peace offering and a mea culpa, and then we go forward with, as you suggest, maybe a hearing with a proposed house at the same time we ask for the subdivision. Give Bill a chance to come and explain this with his attorney, adjourn this meeting, and proceed in that manner. And maybe Peter can talk to his client and let his client know there are some unhappy people here, and there might be a way that's pretty fair. Really doesn't hurt him. It's not like he's giving away this beautiful meadow. Sure, he can sell them and put a house here, but it totally devalues the beautiful estate. Right. That makes any sense. So, can we, I'd like to make a motion that we adjourn this hearing to give Bill an opportunity. Maybe we can coordinate a rescheduling with Peter and his client. Give Bill an opportunity to come and listen to what his neighbor's concerns are and what his proposal is, and then we can go from there. I think Peter suggested about combining. That may not be a bad idea.
Is that a legal maneuver, or do you just make a suggestion?
What do you mean? Is it
to make a motion to a planning commission hearing?
I'm asking the planning commission to entertain that proposal.
You guys can make the motion.
We can.
Yeah. So I'm asking you to make the motion to enter.
But you actually said I'd like to make a motion. So I just
well, whether I make it or I'm making the motion to the commission.
You make a suggestion
for you to make a motion to.
Okay, I just want everybody to understand that.
Yeah. I'd like to hear from the other people here.
Yes.
Yes. This is Bob Crane. I live in Bonfret. I've known Bill for a long, long time and can speak to his intentions. The lot across the street, is that visible from both adjoining properties, the one on the corner and the one?
Yes.
Okay, so you can see, if someone built a house there, you can see it.
Well, it would absolutely destroy the value.
Well, there are a couple things.
I'm just asking questions.
Right. I understand that was being considered. I've heard this, and we've been talking about
it. We haven't designed a system.
Right,
but it's not restricted.
Open space, deep restriction, or whatever it's called, is that form.
Yeah.
And it's fairly simple. It doesn't involve any
trust. It's a very simple thing to execute.
Yeah, right. So that has been considered already. It's also a much more valuable piece of farmland. Somebody mentioned hayfield up where the house site is. That's not a hayfield. It's more of a pasture, probably, but anyway, I just wanted to point that out. This has been considered to protect, conserve in some way or another that piece of open hay land across the street from the old Allison property, which would be
huge. Where is it now?
What is it?
What does he use as a hay?
It's a hay field.
For?
Maybe four.
Who hays it?
John.
Some old
farmer from North Montford.
I might do it for a few more years, but hopefully there'll be others after me. And then part of the hay field is owned by. A third of it is owned by Sam and Brendan Newstead.
Yeah.
Two-thirds of that field is owned by Nassau, that's approximate. But there's quite a bit in our town plan on language that talks about small-scale farming and support continued use of land for agriculture. And I guess the question is that he put in the application that he wanted to leave that undeveloped, and if you consider a major subdivision, even though you say it's as simple as this particular one is, that part of a major subdivision could be to keep some land open, and if he's asking to keep that open, was that his intention to keep it open into perpetuity?
We haven't talked about that at length, but he has mentioned that would just stay undeveloped. I agree with it would severely harm the value of the main house.
Right. As well as the
neighbors
here.
So Peter, consider that as a major ask. Why the
in addition to the development of the meadow below, by the way, that's for us actually less impact than where he plans his proposed house in the subdivision is now. If that affects us, it's looking directly down at us, and parts of it he is now, without concern for us, he is clear cut, and he has no buffer in many of the areas, so we look directly at the house. We could, in fact, in the field below, if we needed, we could put a call up, and we could block any development, the view of any development below.
But that's a micro, not macro, talking.
Right. So you know, when people say that's an impact to us, it is, but it's an impact that we could deal with. We wouldn't want to, but we could. As far as the whole community is concerned, it's very negative. However, the siting of the house where he is proposing it now is a major impact. And it is going to affect, and you were talking about him building across the way would affect the value of his home. Well, what he's planning to do will affect the value of our home. It will affect the ability for us to enjoy our property where he's proposing it. And with the cutting that he has done, he didn't have to do that. If he had come and talked to me, I've got a lot of experience here, 45 years experience in building, architecture, and planning. I could have helped him in deciding which trees and how to do that so that it would have less impact on us in the community. Now, what's to be done? He's got a site, it's cleared up to the up a line.
It can't be revegetated, that can be a condition,
right,
for sure. But Bill, this is exactly why you should make a motion to adjourn to give Mr. Nassel an opportunity to hear folks like Sam and Brenda and other people and to respond.
Yeah. Lydia, identify.
Lydia Spitzer, and I've heard two stories. One that Bill Nassel is a loving grandfather who wants to, you know, provide the big house for his 11 grandchildren, and the other is that he's planning to sell the main house. So what happens to the 11 grandchildren having a nice place to come and be while they're in their retirement community? That maybe could be clarified. That maybe could be clarified.
Again, if Mr. Nassel is here, he can address your needs directly.
Yeah, I would agree with that having the neighborly thing, and I think the appropriate thing would be to have a hearing where we can come and he is here to answer the questions directly rather than through professionals who don't have all the answers, who can hide by the fact that they don't have all the answers, and it's unfair to us.
Good morning. Orson St. John, Peter, in the Ridgeline bylaw we have here, that's a condition of use application. It seems a very important aspect to that bylaw, the visual impact of the roads and so on. So what was found that the applicant is going to come before the hearing to discuss things, even come in beforehand, perhaps talk about what the application is, and then get a sense, right? About the top of suicide by one thing, the only critical advantage was way over on Island Road to maybe 100 yards. And we sat down with him and said, well, look, we get off the chairlift, we don't want to look at that. They were most amenable to the landlord, the only family, to the screening, and we were through all of this, and it became a work in progress. So we achieved the objective where was happy. And in fact, in this subdivision bylaw, we do, if it's properly administered, calls for a preliminary plan review that some of these things would have come out. And so that same kind of scenario is applicable in the Ridgeline, so you get people to communicate.
Thank you, Orson, and that's precisely the violation that I referred to. Says you've got to come and do that if it involves a clear cutting of a forest stand, arguably that was done, or if it causes an obvious visual modification to the forest overstory as viewed from a public highway. Read the Brickner's memo. They look right at the visual modifications. Those are the violations that I suggest we may be able to overlook if Mr. Nassel is willing to make some concessions that otherwise might outweigh some of the negatives. And he doesn't want to be a pariah. I mean, these are his neighbors. If he really wants to have a retirement home here, he doesn't want to sit there like a hermit and have everyone throwing cans as they go down the road.
No, you know? And I
believe he needs to understand that.
And I just want to be clear with everybody that both myself and Mr. Nassel are very sensitive to these things. He's not just trying to go in and willy-nilly. In fact, all the logging work was done by our own or your own local arborist, Cy Bernard. This is not, he didn't bring in some marauding crew to do that. Cy is a certified arborist.
He's also a member of this planning commission. And I forgot to ask at the beginning, but has Cy formally recused himself? Because if he hasn't, I'm asking that he does recuse himself.
Yeah. But my point in saying all this is that it wasn't something where he's just coming in and doing this without obviously he's getting a lot of advice. I mean, he's got a lot of professionals involved with this. To be honest with me, I didn't know anything about the clear cutting. I was totally absorbed in the rather mundane and simple subdivision permit, which it is. It's the clear cutting that's the problem. And Mr. St. John, I would just say that I want to clarify that his actual building location is outside of the ridgeline. But he definitely has massive issues with the major cutting that you can argue has gone on within the ridgeline area, with some mitigating circumstances like renovating and bringing back an ancient pasture. I just want to say that the one thing I really want to say is I realize that somebody building something new near you can be offensive to you. But unless you own that land, or unless you have an easement, a view easement, or something like that, if it's within the confines of your ordinance, yes, I'm sure he's going to be willing to explain what he wants to do, but at some point, just like we wouldn't go and ask all of you, are you going to have your grandkids living there? Who's going to be living there? Are you going to be able to sell it? Do you not want to sell it? You know, we're not going to do that, because it's quite frankly none of anyone's business.
No, that's correct. He has the legal right to do what he wants to do, but the consequences of saying, I've got the legal right to do it, the hell with everybody.
And he's not saying that.
No, I'm saying there are consequences. We understand that.
Yeah,
we understand that.
I just want to say that there's certain boundaries that have to be respected
with
as far as how much information people will get.
No, wait a minute. Before Alan jumps in, this way, let's keep it.
Yeah.
Let's finish. Go ahead, Peter.
That's all I want to say is that I'm totally going to encourage him to come and be here.
What I'm
not going to do is I'm not going to say, Bill, you need to tell everybody your personal desires for every last thing on the property. Because, quite frankly, that's beyond the scope.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Contrary to what Peter Wallers is saying, I might go along with that if he had followed our zoning regulations. But he has two zoning violations, and there are consequences for that. And Mr. Nassel needs to feel the consequences for having proceeded with an intentional residential development without any kind of subdivision permit, any clear cut in the ridge line without any permit for that.
I've got a question, I guess, for maybe the people that are here as well as for Peter. Certainly there's one way, the ridge line is probably a third of that area, maybe it's 3 acres or 4 acres or 2 acres. It's not very much, the ridge line part. And so one way, I guess, that we could proceed is to have a ridge line hearing and see if it's a visual modification, undue adverse effect from various vantage points along the highway, and see whether it is would pass that test. And it would either pass the test or it wouldn't pass the test. And there may be some fines levied for doing that without getting the permit first. So that certainly is an option to clear that part of it. I sort of agree with Peter that he hasn't really graded that property. He's clear-cut the part that's not in the ridge line, and he did a liquidation or a clear cut on the part that isn't the ridge line, even though there's 25 trees left. So the land that's outside the ridge line really doesn't have anything to do with the ridge line ordinance. So the screening of the house and so forth and all of that wouldn't follow the ridge line ordinance. So my question to the people here, or I guess you could have him restore that 2 acre, 3 acre piece of land to what it looked like before. There's all kinds of options that could happen. But in lieu of having a planning commission hearing on a ridge line overstory removal, is it an undue adverse effect from class 1, 2, or 3 roads? What are the things that you people would like him to do that might not have that happen? For example, you might say plant some 20-foot white birch trees along the property line where, from the road to where your house is. The Spitzers may want to say, plant some trees up there so I don't have to look down from the walking road on my property and see anything that's down there. It would seem that there were some concerns about screening and so forth more outside the ridge line than in the ridge line, especially yours is outside the ridge line. Lydia's and the Galaxy Hill folks are in the ridge line. So is there things that you people would like him to do? Does that make sense?
Yes.
John, I'm not sure it's just cutting in the ridge line. The zoning reg said ridgeline and hillside conservation areas. And I think if you get into the fine
ridgeline
print.
And hillside conservation areas, that 750-foot area, that's it.
I think if you get into the fine print and if you conduct activities that cause an obvious visual modification
in the ridgeline.
Well, I'm not.
Yeah, it is in the ridgeline.
I'm not so sure.
It's
but, okay.
There.
But my point was, rather than get into fines and cease and desist and all that, I mean, no, I think that's legitimate. But there's a way to hold that in abeyance, have a meeting, let everyone hear what Mr. Nassel has to say, let him respond to some of these questions with his counsel, and then I think, there are a number, and I agree with Peter, legally, eventually, I think he'll get a permit to build a house somewhere up on his subdivided lot. But there's all kinds of reasonable screening, lighting, height restrictions, reflective surfaces. Siding of the house is critical. It doesn't have to go there. I'll bet we can find a spot where it's tucked away with a little screening. You won't even know it's there. No, I'm serious. It's not only for his benefit, but for the benefit of the value of the property down below. I mean, there's all kinds of things that can mitigate, bowling ahead without any regard to the ordinances.
I would love to know why in siding the house there it is overlooking and will diminish the value of the house he's got.
It makes no sense.
Why would he do that? If he was here, tell us what the logic is behind doing that.
Well, that's why we need to get
the neighbor. It just makes no sense.
Yeah.
So why
that's
you do
why
it?
We need all to address those questions. That's right, Bill.
For you.
That's
okay.
Right.
And as Peter said, how many grandchildren? Why does he want it there? What direction is it facing? What color is the roof? All of those things. That's out of our purview. If it was in the ridge line, we'd say yes. You have to have a natural sided, colored building, and the roof can't be any outdoor lighting. I'm sure that he'll probably say yes. I don't want to have floodlights facing out here. I'm going to keep it simple. But we just need your opinion.
What conditions are within your purview with respect to a major subdivision approval?
Right.
You can impose all kinds of restrictions.
Yeah,
right.
And a lot of those he needs to hear. A lot of those options from you.
And maybe he and his attorney will come back with a proposal.
Right.
Peter's heard all of it. But he gets it.
Here,
then suddenly we've got an application and say, hey, this is considered.
Right.
Do you think he would be willing to come if we...
Well, he has to. He's the applicant.
Continue to a certain date, like the 3rd or 4th of September, a three-day weekend, stay here on Tuesday after the three-day weekend, and we adjourn this hearing to that date certain.
I can suggest that. I know that I think he wanted to come to this meeting, he just couldn't make it.
I think we've
heard that. I've heard that he's very willing.
Perfect.
A very nice person. He's sort of embarrassed about the lights that he put on his house down here, and whatever. So he just never turned them on.
I think it would send a bad message.
Absolutely. I'm sure. We have to ask, we can surmise it.
Yes.
Why don't we ask, and we'll continue in this hearing.
We'll get some more thought, help us my ideas, what your needs, what your concerns, and he'll say, I agree, there's no mad rush, Peter just said he's not itching to get started, so there's no harm,
I don't think that there's any, we don't have to have a decision within so much time, we can we can continue until a date, and we all know who you are, and then we'll warn it. And so that you'll all be back here.
If you pick the date certain now, then we know.
Well, it's hard to do when you don't.
What's your next meeting?
The second is, that's the Monday, Labor Day, so that's the second, so 14 days from that, I believe, will be the 16th. We could, date certain on the 16th of September.
When are we going?
17th.
Sounds reasonable.
17th.
Sounds reasonable.
That's very reasonable. It's only fair. It's everyone.
Well, the 16th.
My main concern, and I understand the two lawyers here are trying to work something out, it's a practical solution, but my difficulty is that on principle, people who live in town, no different than people who live in Orlando or Sarasota or any place else where Mr. Nassau has property, he wouldn't even try to blow his nose in those communities without getting the proper permits. And to come up here and thumb his nose and prompt his permits just because he knows we're a rural community, really sets my teeth on edge. And I think that something needs to be done to make them understand that we're just not a pushover town, and we're not going to turn around for him and say, well, you know, let's work out this little side deal and say, we'll give you the permits that you want so long as you conserve some land. There needs to be a principle adhered to that people who come and do any kind of development in town recognize that there are zoning bylaws, that there are subdivision bylaws, that there's a ridgeline bylaw, that all of his professional people know exist in the town of Concord because they do business in Concord regularly, and there's just no adequate excuse for his failure to comply with very simple requirements to put a permit forth before he goes to the state and gets a septic permit, and before he hires Sideman Law to do all the cutting up there. It's just, what he's done is not acceptable, and he needs to pay some penalties for himself and for all the people who come after him who decide that they can do this to the town of Concord as well.
Here, here.
Here, here. Answer that in a way that we had discussions about sitting out a car with the tax bill. I don't know why that didn't get included in that. Telling people if you want to build in the resolution, you have to do this. And if you want to build here, that and the other things in which you have to get a permit for, so that people become more aware of what they really should be doing.
That's a good idea.
Excuse that you say.
Is a topography available showing the lay of the land prior to the improvements he's done? I live across the way and I was watching the equipment there, and it may be the case, but I'm not sure that there hasn't been some land move.
There's been no land move there. I've walked that property. I've heard from
the where the drive is now. Is
the driveway to get the traffic in there. I would agree with that.
That's right. That going up to the drive going around and up to the site was all improved.
That has to be that for a forest management. You have to have flat areas for chippers and for logging and piling up and whatever. So that was a forest/agricultural access permit.
Except that he's using that exact access for where he's siting his home, so that he's proposing. So that was done not as purely for logging consequences, it was done with the improvements that he was considering in mind.
There's a flat place up there on top of the hill next to the Galaxy Hill people. That's a flat place that would be ideal with no modification for a house. And certainly if he puts the house where it is now, there's going to be a lot more leveling of that land to get it in there, trust me.
I agree.
So,
well, Sam and Ellen, I would say we're not giving away our right to come down hard for the violation.
We
can hold that in advance. We're not agreeing. We're going to forget about all of that. Let's have a hearing with him present. Let's have some interaction. Let's hear maybe a proposal. And then we can have a hearing and decide, okay, where are we now? What do we have to address? And how do we do it?
You want to address?
I just wanted to mention that when we did the test pits for the septic, the land was already cleared. He didn't do any clearing after we did the test pits, so I'm not sure. I mean, we could have gone up there, done the test pits, and found out the whole place was ledge and water, and we couldn't do anything anyway. So I don't know what, I don't believe his intent was to.
Do you recall when you did the test pits?
Yeah, we did them in January.
Before the cutting?
Right before it snowed. After the cutting.
Yeah.
It was all cut, the stumps were still there, but it was cut.
Yeah. So he didn't even know that it was going to pass the septic before he took down all the trees.
True.
My thought was he was doing it to preserve the
pasture.
Add pasture land to his property.
You don't preserve pasture where there's forest. You destroy forest to put pasture. Don't talk about preserving it.
Revert it back to pasture.
We can have that argument all the time. Why don't we hear from you?
Yeah, I can attest to the fact that there's been no movement of earth up there. I've been following this construction since the beginning, not only because I know Bill, but I like logging operations. I like to follow them, and I've been up there multiple times during the construction. There have been no bulldozing roads. There's been nothing. As a matter of fact, where the house site is looks to be a very natural, flattish place, and any close analysis on Google Earth will show you that from as far back as you want to look. So I, from my own observation, there's been no road building other than the logging road into the place that I can see.
Well, I would take that with a grain of salt because I asked you directly what his intentions were since you've been a 25-year friend and you know all about this. You said the house is going to be for the 11 grandchildren and he's going to be on a hill. And I spoke to his attorney, who I take in his word, and he said the house is going up for sale, and that's going to fund his retirement account. He's going to live in the little house. So
I don't know. Maybe Bill ought to come and tell us.
I get it.
Okay.
It's across the street. You probably didn't do everything right. You probably won't like the fact, no matter if he comes here and tells you his plan, like he properly should have some time ago. But where is 11 grandkids when you say, really, you got something to do with it?
We don't care about it.
I know.
You're the one who told me they were going to stay in the big
don't
house.
Tell the story.
Anybody have any other comments? Yes.
Identify. Oh, I'm Brendan Whitaker, the caretaker of Galaxy Hill. I have heard that there were some modifications to the existing logging road, and that's not going to be the driveway anymore. Is there any truth to that?
I don't know anything about the driveway permit that's been being issued by the town. It's like, well, I understand that it's going to be a little bit.
We gave a conditional driveway permit to Mr. Nassau, conditioned on the fact that he got the subdivision through, and the driveway is going to be slightly further down the hill than the logging road. There has to be a berm put in and some trees, two or three trees cut, or he can berm behind them to take care of the water that is coming down the logging road and going into the town road. There's going to be a culvert there, and John Harrington, Horizons Engineering, has got some plans that are on file here, and he was certainly willing to negotiate with the road foreman of the select board to make the access work. Because there's a limited amount of land there on that subdivision that butts the road, the choices were rather small, but we thought that it would have good site distance. And it is not quite where the logging access is now. And I would guess you'd say that some of the side of the driveway that will be there is on the northerly side where there's logging road just about, isn't it?
It is.
And so we thought that we had, if indeed the subdivision comes to pass, they'd be willing to do the 20 feet and 2% grade, put in the culverts if necessary, divert the water that's coming down off the hill. And from a road standpoint, the select board, we approved it on that basis.
Emily, I'd like to assume that the plan is near the...
It is.
So it's available for anybody to look at.
I would say that Emily mentioned that it might involve the cutting of yet more trees.
Yeah.
That's a pretty sore subject. I would say there ought to be some discussion with the folks that live right across the street about where other trees are going to be cut. They've already had their buffer cut too.
My guess is that there are about three trees that are quite small that would have to be cut. And my guess is with all the cutting and the cutting of fill and stuff that's gone on, they'll probably be dead in 3 or 4 years anyway. However, the bottom line is there won't be a driveway in there if the water that's coming off that hill goes down Offert Road. And although you may not want to have three more key trees cut, you're all going to pay for it if it washes out of Offert Road.
I look at those 3 or 4 trees. Those 3 or 4 trees are about that big around, and they're shitty trees to start with.
Well, but let Sam and Brenda have a say in.
Well, in regards to that, I was going to kind of wait until there was further discussion at the next meeting. But since it was brought up, when we built our house 8 years ago, there was concern about the drainage on the Galaxy Hill Road, and we put in at the bottom of our property, we paid for a culvert coming from the other side of the road over to our side of the road. We put a culvert in with a head wall, and the water then drained onto our property. And that was the reasonable thing to do under the circumstances. But the change of the ecosystem from forest to range, it's a totally, we're seeing now a lot more runoff coming in and through our culvert, and the sediment is blocking up now. It's pretty high, pretty quickly. So there is an impact on our property, and that should be addressed as it is now, without any development, just by the clear cutting, that should be addressed. And I think it's my feeling that Mr. Nazel has some of the responsibility there for doing that, and the impact, that impact on our property.
Again, that's a select board issue, and we really need to take that up with the select board as to anything that we mitigate. We can't address that issue.
But it can be, it can be put into any approvals that he would have to mitigate that problem.
Yeah, but you can't address it because it's a consequence of the cutting that went on without a discussion and approval ahead of time.
Well, you know, it appears to me there's a couple ways to look at this thing. Look at it black and white. What's in the ridge line? What isn't in the ridge line? Handle that. That's separate. Handle this. And then, and I'm not saying that's a bad way to go, but if the house is out of the ridge line, that pretty much not a lot of control, although Peter did say that we can control a lot because it's so-called a major subdivision. So and then you guys have talked earlier about trying to work together to kind of come up with a compromise that makes Concord look beautiful, maybe conserving the meadow, having some screening to satisfy people. So it seems to be more of a complicated situation than necessarily black and white. But anyway.
No, you're right, John. There's a holistic solution that might be within reach, but I think we have to start with allowing Bill to tell us what his thoughts, what his plans are. Having an interchange with all of his neighbors and listening to these various concerns, and then after he's heard all of that, he can come back with his lawyer and say, here's what I'd be prepared to do.
That's where we're headed.
Yeah.
Okay. Nelson wants to speak.
I would have Peter to hold his plant and get some grass seed on that section of land up there so it doesn't wash around.
They seeded it.
And
so I seeded it. The problem is he seeded it when it was hot and there was no rain, so I had to probably seed it again. That's all we see.
It's unfortunate. Folks from Leonard Ride will grow in about 3 days.
Mr. Lamb, what are they spreading on your place over there? Just covering up just so it doesn't erode.
It looks like hay. Yeah, it looks like hay.
It's nothing hay on
the carpenters, I'm able to say.
I'm told that's what they do to get this conservation grass.
Yeah, yeah, it's a mix. It's a mix of mulch and hay grass you get.
Well, the thing is, he's not done with the site work yet. But I do understand the stabilization, but they're doing beautiful grass.
Right.
It's different. It's different. They're doing the lawn. But you do need the hay for it.
And you get some winter rye on there, so yeah, it'll grow and it'll cover that. Stabilize the soil.
When you plant it.
And then you destroy it.
Yep.
That's what we do all the time.
What, you just spray it around? Do you have
Yes.
I just have a question, because having had a conversation with Sam maybe a week or two ago, and there was a lot of soil that was planted, put in front, very close to your boundary line. What is that soil for? Are they doing a French drain around the main house because they have flooding there?
Yes, well, I'm not the engineer or the contractor there, but I know from Jane that they had serious water problems in the basement. And what looks like what they're doing there is mitigating the water problem with a French drain and gravel.
But you've taken away any kind of source of sucking up that water. Now you have a bigger problem with the water runoff.
Well, it's going to go. It'll be below. There'll be another issue below the house.
Yes, it's using power. I was told that there was a foot of water in the basement, and it appears that he didn't want to ignore that, and if he's planning on selling the house, he's trying to do it right, I guess, so.
And why get rid of all those trees?
He's fixing it up, so he's certainly doing it.
That doesn't have any bearing on this area.
Peter, have we identified where the power is coming? Because subdivisions have encouraged to bury power lines, so where is that?
We haven't gotten that far.
I don't think we're anywhere near.
We haven't gotten that far, honestly, but I'm sure he will bury it.
Well, it's not part of the building permit.
No, I understand that.
I think that we need to know if anybody here wants to have party status at this point. I think that's right. Isn't that the first thing we need to do, is be able to continue, that we need to be able to notify you. So,
what kind of status?
Party
Okay. Status.
Party status, I think that's the route that we have to take, so that we know you want to be notified. And
as the butter, we want party status.
Right, so we have you, everybody sign up here with an email and all that. So
and I think the Brickners asked for party status,
right,
because they're directly
here.
Yeah.
Katie's here.
Oh.
We would like party status, thank you.
Yeah, okay, so just come forward when we're done. And talk to Karen over here. And I'll take care of that.
I guess the only other question is that we were going to set a date certain time for the 16th of September. I guess the question I'd like to ask Peter is, if for some reason that Mr. Nassau cannot make the 16th, it would probably be in our best interest to set a time after the 16th that he would make it.
Yep.
I mean,
I'll contact him tomorrow morning first thing.
Right.
And I'll be in touch with Karen.
Yeah. If we can set that to be a part of our regular meeting, then we get into the 16th, then we're into October for meeting for the third
month. Well, this is just an informational meeting.
No.
The next meeting is
it's continuance.
It's a continuation of this informational hearing.
Yeah. Yeah.
The hearing is still continuation of the hearing.
You're adjourning.
We're adjourning to a date
recess.
Recess.
Well, there are a number of words.
I guess you can use all these words this morning. So.
We're going to meet again. We'll meet again. Are there any other comments? Anybody else have any thoughts? Ellen?
And I think I have your email.
There'll probably be a 6:30.
Well, no, that's my wife's. Okay. She,
we don't need another site.
Yes.
No. So it's just going to be a hearing, continuation of this hearing. Okay, if there's any other comments, then we'll have to
I'm going to have to wait.